In the previous lesson, I showed you how to Thevenize a circuit, that is, to create Thevenin's equivalent magic black box that contained an equivalent power supply and resistor that simulated an entire network of some sort. Here I show a thing called the Norton's theorem. Very brief outline of what the Norton's theorem is. Basically, it's the current version of Thevenin's. In other words, Thevenin's is a voltage equivalent. Norton's is based on current. Norton is unable, as far as I know, to do anything that Thevenin's can't do. It's just another way to visualize the circuit. I show the original complex circuit that requires some kind of a Thevenin, or in this case Norton, equivalent. I show the Thevenized result of that circuit, and then I show you the Norton version of that. A little bit about what voltage and current sources and so forth are. A voltage source, a theoretical ideal voltage source, has zero impedance. This means that it could be a mere half volt or 5 volts or whatever voltage. No matter what load you place on an ideal power source, if it's a voltage source, no matter what load you place on it, its voltage will not sag. Now, you're probably all accustomed to when the refrigerator or the furnace or something kicks on, the lights dim momentarily because the start current in a typical induction motor, hooked up to your AC power line, is something like 5 to 7 times its normal run current. They're not very efficient starting up, and that's just the way they're designed. Well, in a real-world situation, some big motor like that kick on or something, and you notice the lights momentarily dim. But an ideal voltage source doesn't do that. Well, this has some interesting ramifications, because if you place a short, or a very low resistance, I should say, you drop a wrench across the battery. If the battery is an ideal battery, that wrench just vaporizes into a cloud of metal gas. The voltage stays the same, no matter what load you place on it in an ideal voltage source. Real-world voltage sources don't do that. They have some internal resistance, and that's why you don't get, the really disastrous things happen. Although some kinds of batteries, NiCads are especially notorious for this. You place a short across the NiCad, man, they draw current like crazy. I have a little bitty NiCad about the diameter of a C battery and about half the size of a C battery. I once had an amp gauge that went up to 50 amps, and it darn near pegged that amp meter. So, this is a case where a little 1.2 volt cell manages to stay at 1.2 volts, even though it's got a really large amp meter across it. Okay, well, so there are batteries that approximate an ideal voltage source. Well, okay, so what is a current source? A current source is a source of current that maintains, at all costs, it maintains a current. Say it's a 1 amp, not much of a current source. It's only got 1 amp of power, or 1 amp current, I should say. That's all the more current it has, but its voltage does whatever is necessary to ensure that that current actually flows. In a theoretical, ideal current source, if you were to open the circuit, you've got these two terminals that come out of the wall, and the two terminals have a short across them, of course, because current source, in order to draw no power, needs to have a short across it. That's just the way current sources are. But if you put a resistance across it, then the resistance will, because current is flowing through it, will dissipate power, and so that's how you generate power from a current source. And if the resistance that you place across the current source is a high-value resistance, you get lots of power because there's lots of voltage across the resistor now. The current source does whatever is necessary to maintain that 1 amp of current. If it's a 1 amp current source, it maintains that 1 amp of current no matter what the resistance is. Well, the ultimate resistance is to, you know, you've got these two posts that are sticking out of your wall. They're 6 inches apart. So what do you suppose would happen if you just simply lifted the resistor off of the terminals and had just no connection at all? No connection at all is this incredibly high resistance. Well, what you end up with is 6 inches of blue flame jumping across the two terminals. The current that flows through this thing is still 1 amp, but the voltage across the terminals is now, you know, maybe, you know, 500,000 volts or something. It's whatever it takes to cause that arc to jump across those two terminals. So an ideal current source will do whatever is necessary with its voltage to maintain the current that it wants to generate. An ideal voltage source will do whatever is necessary as far as current goes to hold its voltage constant. So in the case of a voltage source, if you short it out, it draws all kinds of current. In the case of a current source, which is exactly the opposite of a voltage source, whenever you open circuit it, it draws all kinds of power. You know, in this case, you know, 6 inches of blue flame. Well, okay, as it turns out, if you know the Thevenized current that will flow in which you've got a Thevenin black box and you put a short on the Thevenin black box, you can calculate what current it would generate. If you put that current inside of a Norton current generator and put that inside of a box and use that same resistor, but now apply the Norton current source across the resistor, the effect is that you end up with a black box that is identical to the Thevenin black box. In fact, from an external point of view, you can't tell the two apart. If you sit there with all your meters and instruments and everything you can put on it, the two black boxes appear to you to be identical. There's no way to tell from the external, and that's the reason that Norton works. You basically put a Norton, you substitute a Norton box in for a Thevenin box, and the calculations are pretty much the same, except that now you're dealing with current instead of voltage for a power source. A little bit more on this. Current sources do exist in the real world. Inside ICs, they have what they call current diodes, which are, you take a voltage, as long as you maintain a certain voltage across the current diode, it will draw a certain current. And as the voltage goes up and down, as long as it doesn't go below the minimum that the current diode needs, it will draw the same current constantly. You can actually build a current source out of a transistor, a diode, and a resistor. I mean, there's numerous ways that these can be arrived at. They all require, of course, that there's a certain minimal voltage that's across the element that's trying to be a current source. Current sources have an interesting property. Going back to voltage sources, the fact that you can put a short across an ideal voltage source and just draw, you know, infinite amounts of current, really. What happens if you have the fact that a voltage source has, you know, infinite current if you short it out indicates that its impedance, we're not talking about the Thevenized thing, we're talking about an ideal power source that's a voltage source, its impedance looking into it is 0 ohms. Okay? I mean, that's important to grasp this, that there is no resistance in that thing. Similarly, what would the impedance of a current source be? Well, it's infinite ohms. A current source has as far as an impedance, from an impedance point of view, a current source appears to be an open circuit. I mean, it's drawing current, and it's producing voltage and all this, but as far as its impedance, it actually appears to be an open circuit, and there's a lot of interesting properties that I'll get into later. So, that's a short description of Norton. You can go out on the internet. Maybe at some point I'll include some links to some stable places that the links aren't going to change very, very frequently. At present, I don't have that, but you can look and see if there are some, because I'll change that without changing the audio. On to the next thing. If you look on the bottom, the next panel down, you've got these two kind of target-like, you know, pie charts that are sort of staring you in the face. They're really the same chart. Both of them are identical in what they cover. The first one is in standard units, E for electromotive force, P for power, I for intensity of current flow, R for resistance, and to solve any of those in the center of the chart, you just look at, in other words, say you want to know the electromotive force. Well, okay, before we get to that, the other chart is actually the same chart, but I show the actual units that they're in, volts, watts, amperes, and ohms. You can use either of these charts. They are interchangeable. They say exactly the same thing. It's just that some people are accustomed to using the standard international ones, and other people are used to using the units that they're in. Okay, so let's say, to solve for volts, and let's say you know the amps and the ohms. In other words, you know how many amps is flowing through how many ohm resistor. If you go to the second chart, since you're looking to solve for volts, you go to the center of the pie and find the V, or the volts, and then you go out from that looking for one of the equations that will solve for V. All right? In this case, it's A times ohms, or amps times ohms. Okay. That's pretty straightforward. You can solve for four different things with three equations apiece for each of them, and so you get this nice pie chart. These formulas are based on the simplest of things. These things are based on Ohm's Law. Ohm's Law states pretty simply that there is that the current flowing through a resistor is proportional to the voltage applied to the resistor and inversely proportional to the resistance of the resistor. That kind of makes sense. It seems like a really simple observation for, I think his name was Simon Ohm, to have, discovered. Combine that with a simple known fact that power is the product of volts and amps, or the product of electromotive force and current, however you want to look at it. Combine those two together, and you have a whole bunch of equations, and I've displayed them all in a real nice, easy format here. I also put them in your notes so that you can scoot them up and, you know, add them to some text or something, you know, that you're doing to compile your notes. Okay, on to the next frame, and there's another audio discussion.